कुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। We are discussing the 41st shloka of Saundarya Lahari. Shankara is discussing the Shadhadharam, the six chakras where Devi or the power of Devi is there in each of the chakra, and as the Kundalini Shakti or the dormant power rises from one Adharam to another Adharam and then finally culminates in Sahasraram, that is considered moksha or anandam. So we can consider the Kundalini Shakti as a dormant jiva or individual power which becomes one with Devi, which flows towards Devi, thereby becoming one with Devi and culminating in anandam. So that's how the chakra has to be interpreted with respect to Vedanta. So it is not raising of Kundalini Shakti or forcefully raising the Kundalini Shakti, that is the goal of learning Saundarya Lahari, but the goal is understanding the concept of Jiva or the individual merging onto Devi, pervading everything with Devi. So whatever is seen, whatever, wherever we are concentrating, whichever chakra we are concentrating, concentrate on Devi. See Devi alone in any of the chakra, any of the place. So that is the purpose. Once a person does that, that means Kundalini Shakti has successfully merged onto the Sahasraram, which will then endow or bestow the seeker with Anandam. So with this particular shloka, the first part of Saundarya Lahari, which is Ananda Lahari, ends. So Ananda Lahari ends over here in this with this particular shloka. So Shankara had described the other five chakras except the last one. So the last one he is explaining in this particular shloka. So this particular shloka is set in the raga called Navarasa Kannada. So the word Navarasam also comes in this particular shloka. So therefore, this particular shloka is set in the raga called Navarasa Kannada. We'll get into the meaning and like the import of Vedantic import little later, but the shloka goes like this. Tava dhare mule सह समयया लास्य परया नवात्मानं मन्ये नवदसमहात्ताण्डवनटम् उभाभ्यामेताभ्याम् उदयविनिकुद्दे सनासनाताभ्यां जज्ञे जनक जननी मज्जगदिदं। I don't remember any song in this particular raga. So maybe you can, somebody can look up and check if there is any raga in this particular raga and get back. So the meaning goes like this. So Shankara is speaking about the last Adharam, Mooladharam. So Mooladharam means it's the Moolam. Moolam means it's the base, or it's the base from which the base part where Kundalini Shakti is dormant, so from which everything starts. So another reason for Moolam is that is the place from where creation starts. Desire as well as creation starts from that particular place. So Shankara explanation of Devi as present, Devi and Sadashiva as present in Mooladharam will be more towards explaining about Devi and Sadashiva as the father and mother of creation, because creation starts from Mooladharam. So it is desire which gets converted into action through Mooladharam that causes creation, that helps in creation through progeny and other things. So tava your adhare mule adhare, in your Mooladharam, in the Mooladharam chakram, in that chakram, lasya paraya. So lasya paraya, paraya means like or attracted to, very much attracted to. Lasya means dance. So very much attracted to dance. Who is that? Like the person who likes dance the most is Sadashiva. That's the reason why like he's also called Nataraja as well. So Sadashiva and Samayaya Saha, Samaya Shakti or Devi as Samaya. We have already learned this particular aspect of Devi called Samaya in another shloka. So Samaya Devi as well as Sadashiva Saha. So along with, so Samayaya, so Devi along with Sadashiva are present in Moole Adhare, in the Moola Adharam. And Navarasa Mahatandava Natham. So Navarasa Mahatandava Natam. So Mahatandavam. So they like and they enter into Mahatandavam, Tandava Natam. So the dance of Mahatandavam, and which is endowed with Navarasam. All the different rasas of Navarasam or in music or art, like rasa or essence of something, essence of what art is, has like it's of seven or nine types. That's why it's called Navarasam. So Gambiram, I don't remember the other nine, but all those nine aspects are there. So Navarasa Mahatandava Natam. So they do Mahatandava Natam, they do Mahatandava dance, which has Navarasas. So generally, Shokarasam or Anandapurnam or Gambiram. So all these like rasas, they cannot exist together. So the only place that all of these exist together is in Devi, is in Parashakti. So only in Parashakti, only in Brahman, all these can exist, coexist together. So Shokam and Anandam, both are like Sukam and Dukkam, they cannot exist. So we already learnt about in one of the chakra where fiery Sadashiva and cold Devi are situated. So such the Navarasas are like, they cannot mutually exist. So coexistence is not possible for the Navarasas. So, but here Shankara says that then we can find Navarasam in their dance, in that particular dance of Sadashiva, in the particular dance of Devi. And such a person, Navatmanam, such a Sadashiva, who does Mahatandavanatam with your power, of course, and then which has Navarasam in it, such a Sadashiva and Devi, Manye, I worship, I meditate. So I meditate upon the Sadashiva who is endowed with Devi in the Mooladharam. And what are they doing? They perform the Mahatandava Natam, which has nine emotions. So Mahatandavam, what does it do? So Mahatandavam destroys everything. So whatever is there is completely destroyed. So it's also another fact that when we have desire and desire gets converted into action, then that leads us to a state of what to say, destruction. So we get completely destroyed by that. So we would have seen like people or like such situations, real life situations. So, as Balakrishnan Nair says, like people go to Tirupati, go to Parani, like worship 10 years, like take vows, take fasting and all those things they do to get a child. After they get the child, then the child itself becomes a source of trouble, source of problem. So earlier, lack of child was a problem, and then child itself becomes a problem. So everything starts from that. So life, we may say, like generally people consider birth of a child as something very great, something very joyous moment, a moment to enjoy. So I know people like who celebrate a lot, like when their wife is pregnant and then she gets a kid. But like Ashutosh Ananda, one of the Swamiji of Ramakrishna Mission Chennai, he once spoke about this. He said, like, we generally, what we do is, when a child is born, we celebrate. And when somebody dies, we become sad. Ideally, it should be the other way around. Why? When a person is born, we should be sad that he has fallen into this trouble. He has fallen into the samsara. He is going to suffer like we are suffering. But still, we celebrate. Similarly, when a person dies, we should be happy that he has escaped from samsara, at least escaped from this birth, at least temporarily he has escaped. We should be happy, but we don't do it. So everything starts from that. That leads us to our own destruction. So progeny or desire, sexual desire, progeny, entering into like a family life, grihastha ashrama, all those are ways which lead us to the goal of destruction. So that is what is denoted by Shankara here as Mahatandavanatam. It is Mahatandavanatam that is happening in Mooladharam, because that is the cause of all trouble. That the first person who started creation, Brahma, he created. And the reason why his creation, his initial creation, didn't have this sorrow is because he created out of his will. It didn't come out of Mooladharam, it came out of his will. So that's the reason why we find Senakadi sages as well as Narada as realized saints. Whereas when creation process continued, then it became, it started flowing through Mooladharam, then it became, it led to the destruction of people. So that is what is meant by Mahatandava Natam. O Devi. So it is also a way of telling, another way, like another aspect also we can see as Mahatandavam. Oh, if we worship Devi in Mooladharam, Devi and Sadashiva in Mooladharam, then they will perform, Sadashiva will perform a Tandavam, Tandava Natam. When he does that Tandava Natam, all our desires will be completely destroyed. So complete destruction of desires, complete destruction of passions, complete destruction of actions happen in the Mooladharam if we worship Sadashiva as or present in the Mooladharam. So that's another way of seeing it. And Udaya Vidhim. So Udaya Vidhim. Udaya Vidhim means like that world. Udayam means like arising. So after Pralayam, the world gets world rises up. So that such a world, like or srishti, that starts after Pralayam. Uddishya means targeting that srishti after Pralayam. Dayaya, by karuna, by compassion. Natha means husband. Natha abhyam, with Natha, sanatha abhyam, along with your partner. Ethabhyam, ubhabhyam, you both. So along with your partner, along with your husband, you both together, idam jagat, this entire world, janaka janani mad Jajne, Janaka Janani, Mat. So like Janaka and Janani, Jajne, become. So that means after Pralayam, after Sadashiva has done the Mahadandavam, after destruction, then you both stay together, get together as father and mother, thereby creating the entire world. That means the entire world is created out of Sadashiva and Devi. So this is another way of telling that everything that we see has come from Devi. So that means, like, if somebody, after learning this particular shloka, if somebody asks who is your parent, then we may explain or give an answer, external answer, through our mouth to the person that, okay, so and so is my father, so and so is my mother. Internally, we should remember that Janaka Janani, that is Sadashiva and Devi. Because if we trace back to our father, to father, to father, to father, finally we will end up with Sadashiva and Devi. So that is what is meant here. And people who are in Grihastha, who are Grihasthashramis or in Grihasthashrama, they should consider, they should have this attitude of having a relationship of father and mother just for progeny. So that's another fault that we find in the entire world, that marriage is not just for progeny. So marriage is for many things, like passion, physical attraction, physical passion, mental, emotional support. So all those are involved in marriage. But ideally, what is marriage? What does marriage signify? Marriage just signifies progeny. Why progeny? What is the need for progeny? Okay, temporarily there are desires in my mind, therefore I'll enter into Grihasthashrama. And progeny is useful because somebody will be born as a human being, therefore it helps. But as long as there is no desire, it's fine. But people who are in Grihasthashrama, they should always remember that marriage is not a means for passion. It's not a solution for passion, because it will never end. So marriage is just a way of temporarily enjoying our desires, exhausting our desires temporarily, remembering that the only goal of marriage is to exhaust our desires and for progeny if required. So that is another way of seeing it. And there also we should remember that the entire creation can be traced back to Sadashiva and Devi, who are the father and mother for the entire world. If we forget this, then we will try to think, okay, this is my father, how should I react? This is my mother, how should I react? My father is asking me money, should I give or shouldn't I give? We can give or not give, it doesn't matter, but we should be able to get out of the attachment anytime. So that is where we can find out whether there is real attachment or whether there is no real attachment. So, like, we have heard this statement again and again, that this very moment we should be able to leave everything and go. That is the state of a person who is completely detached. Detachment, which is perfect, or perfect detachment is perfect when this very moment we should be able to leave and everything. It shouldn't be in words. We can say in words, like we can say, oh, I will leave my parents, and then when they come seeking us, we'll not be able to react to them. We'll not be able to say, okay, I don't want anything with you. I don't want anything now. I am an independent person. I can stay alone. I don't want any support. I don't want any attachment. If we are able to do that, then that means detachment has become perfect. Unless detachment becomes perfect, such a relationship will lead us, not only as we have, like, we know that it will not only lead us into trouble, it will lead others as well into trouble. So that is the problem with attachment. Attachment is like a virus. It doesn't stop with us alone. It spreads to people around us. It affects each and every person around us. This is beautifully depicted in many movies. So what happens, like, from the top ladder, somebody like the CEO gets angry, he scolds his assistant, it comes down, 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 down till the lowest level it comes. So that happens because we are attached. So there it may be, we may say, okay, I'm not attached to my boss, but it is not attachment to my boss that is the cause there, but it is attachment to our job, which in turn means we are dependent on the boss. So any moment we should be able to get out. Like if something is affecting, we should be able to get out any moment. We should be able, we should be bold and strong to come out of things in 1 second, 1 moment. Okay, next moment, Yama is standing in front of us saying, okay, come, we have to go. We shouldn't say, oh, I have to learn Bhagavad Gita, I have to join Chinmaya Mission, I have to do this, I have to do that. We shouldn't do say anything. Whether it is spiritual or worldly, it doesn't matter. There should be nothing remaining in our mind. Okay, this moment, I am ready. Come on, we can go. If we are able to say that, that is when detachment is perfect. That is the state, like when very soon we will realize, we will gain, we'll experience bliss, because that is not far from realization. The very next step is realization. So it's not far when a person is able to be detached completely. So if attachment is there, it will slowly lead us, as well as people around us, environment around us, the surrounding, the surrounding nearby to us, everything will be spoiled by that one particular attachment. Maybe it is small, but still that will cause it. So if we have to get rid of all those things, then we should take resort to that. If we have to take resort to someone, then let it be the person. Let it be Shiva Shakti. Let it be Shiva Shakti, who are my father and mother. Okay, I cannot worship them as guru. I cannot renounce. Okay, fine. But then consider them as father and mother. My parents, I'll give them money. That means like their others are also our parents. We should be treating others as well in the same way. If we treat two people in two different ways, that itself means there is attachment. Okay, I'll loan money to my friend, but I'll not loan money to Amma. I will take loan for my father, but I'll not take for anybody else. And when we do all these things and then say, okay, I am impartial, I don't have attachment, we should try to analyze. We should analyze ourselves as to whether we are really detached or not. All those like small actions clearly will show whether we have attachment or not. So the only point is, any moment we should be able to come out of everything. Drop everything. It's not okay, I have this to do, I have that to do, I need this, I need that. We shouldn't be thinking twice. We shouldn't take time to think that, okay, Amma, I want to join you, I want to come for your trip, but I have to think about it. We shouldn't even think. If we have to decide, like we should decide immediately. And when it is with, like if it is for worldly things, that itself is important, because if we don't decide soon, then it will lead to some obstacle in our path. So the same applies for spirituality as well. So these shlokas of Shankara, where Shankara worships Devi in each and every Adharam, those are meant for our worship. Worshipping Devi is present everywhere, each and every aspect of Devi, like each and every place in which we worship Devi, we get a different fruit. And when it is mixed completely, then it will give us total fruit, all fruits. So worshipping Devi in Mooladharam, that will lead to destruction of all attachments. Worshipping in Manipuram, that will help in cooling, or like giving us the breeze of Anandam. So when all these chakras we worship Devi, we don't need to know what is the effect of worshipping, but it will ultimately take us to the goal of Advitiya Satyam, or Devi alone as present, Devi along with Sudashiva. So that alone, oneness is what is to be achieved by pervading Devi in each and every Adharam. Once we do that, then what will happen? Ananda Lahari. We will end up in Anandam. There will be Ananda Lahari. So Lahari means waves of Anandam, waves of bliss. So if we are able to implement at least two or three shlokas of Saundarya Lahari till now, till the, out of the 41 shlokas, at least two or three, then we will be able to experience bliss this very moment. We will not need to wait another birth. We will not need to wait for years or births in order to experience bliss. We will be able to experience it the very next moment. That is the goal of Ananda Lahari. We'll continue with the second part from the next day. Hari Om.